And good morning. You're listening to WGBH's Morning Edition. It being Thursday morning, I welcome to the studio Arts Editor Jared Bowen. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning, Bob.
Well, I guess the theatrical season is now beginning.
I know. It's just like back to school. All the shows are starting. We're going back into our theaters again. And it's a great season already.
All right. Take us first to Lowell.
To the Merrimack Repertory Theater, where The Lion is playing, and this is playing through September 20th. And Bob, this is a show I had been reading about for quite some time. It had been done in New York last year and to rave reviews off Broadway. And it's Benjamin Scheuer's one-man musical about his life, really about his relationship with music that comes from his father, and how when he was very, very young, his father made this cookie tin banjo for him, and that became his first instrument. And really fostered this love of music in this otherwise very intellectual, very academic family. So Benjamin sort of found himself as the outlier for being so artistic, so musically inclined. And despite the relationship he had had with his father, the affinity, you come to realize that it was also a very difficult relationship. His father could be very, very emotionally abusive. Through the course of this show, he also takes us through his major first love and his diagnosis with cancer. This is a guy who today is only about 32 years old, so he's already experienced a lot. His story is so unbelievably resonant, so emotionally rich. As I said, I had read so much about him in New York and expected to maybe be underwhelmed based on what I had read, and that it surpassed all expectations. Oh. Here's a little clip from the show. This is his title track called The Lion.
To protect them from the storm, keep them safe and keep them warm. Music was the fire that I shared. It taught me when in fear to be open and sincere, because sometimes being brave is being scared. And at the risk of getting burned, I tried to guide the pride to learn to find their own ideas of fire.
And he's such a really great storyteller, and I truly believe that he's going to be one of the major forces in American musical theater going forward. I had him on my show Open Studio recently, and he was surrounded by his guitars there. It's interesting, I noticed that even in the interview, he becomes a different person, much more comfortable when he has the guitar in his lap. But I asked him about his relationship to music and the guitar.
The guitar is my connection with my father. The guitar is my connection with myself. The guitar insists that I tell the truth hard. You know, I was told by a songwriting teacher, if you want to write a good song, write what you don't want other people to know about you. And if you want to write a great song, write what you don't want to know about yourself. And my guitar won't let me cheat with that.
Wow, some interesting comments. They're very unusual to have a one-person musical.
I know. You wouldn't think on the face of it that it would work, or if it's described to you, but his story, in some ways, while we may not have all dealt with cancer or abusive relationships with parents, I think there are a lot of universal elements. And I was very struck, actually, by the woman next to me, who was quite emotional for a lot of it, because it does have that kind of impact.
Wow. Okay, we're talking about The Lion, playing at the Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell through September 20th. Next to a classic.
A classic, very, very well staged, My Fair Lady. We've all heard it. We've all probably seen the film. And you might wonder why it would be resurrected. And this is, go to Lyric Stage Company in Boston and you'll realize why, because this is such a fantastic musical, as this new production reminds you. The music is just so unbelievably enchanting. Of course, it's a story of Eliza Doolittle, who, as it's described by Professor Henry Higgins, has a cold-blooded murder of the English tongue with her Cockney accent. She goes to him for lessons because she just wants to be a lady in a flower shop. She wants to move above her station. And so he basically has a bet that he can have 6 months to pass her off as a duchess at an embassy ball, and there'll be no question that she is a lady at this point. Jennifer Ellis plays Eliza Doolittle here, and her voice is extraordinary. The Lyric Stage Company of Boston has a very intimate space, and you might not necessarily think that a big, sprawling musical like this works, but it does, because it gets you right to the heart. You know, I always am mindful of modern-day ties to this piece, and by the way, they did move it to 1938, so it's slightly more modern than the original Edwardian context. But in this piece, we have so much conversation today about class and social structure, and this is something that was dealt with quite poignantly then, too.
My Fair Lady at the Lyric Stage Company through October 11th. The next play is Broken Glass, and that's at the New Repertory Theater Company at the Arsenal Center for the Arts.
And this is an Arthur Miller play that has never been done in Boston before. And New Repertory Theater is staging it because this is the centennial of Arthur Miller's birth. This is a play he wrote. It's a late entry, 1994. And it is Broken Glass refers to Kristallnacht, when with Hitler rising, the Jewish German shops' windows were destroyed, when old Jewish men were made to scrub sidewalks with toothbrushes. We find a couple at this time, just days after this has happened, and Sylvia is a woman just despondent, a Jewish woman in America who's despondent at what she's reading in the newspapers and suddenly finds herself paralyzed. Her husband, Philip, goes to the doctor, tries to figure out what has caused this paralysis when everyone seems to come to the consensus that it's psychosomatic, that she's so traumatized by this. But what this piece really is Arthur Miller, who later in life was an atheist, looking back at his Jewish heritage and looking at the complicitness of people during this time. I mean, here you have this one character, Sylvia, who is just bereft and can't understand why people in Europe are not doing more. Her husband is sort of hating his identity. He doesn't necessarily want to identify as Jewish. He sees that as a negative for himself. So this is Arthur Miller working through all of these issues. And really, it's a fascinating piece. And especially as we have this progression, trying to figure out her diagnosis, this paralysis, and what is leading her toward it, it builds great momentum in this piece.
Considering it is the centennial of Arthur Miller's birth, are we going to see more Arthur Miller, do you think?
I haven't noticed many other people many other institutions in the greater Boston area doing it this year, which is kind of a shame since his work is fantastic.
Maybe they're hearing us and somebody will. We'll see. Next, we turn to an exhibition at Harvard's Cooper Gallery through December 11th titled Black Chronicles 2.
This is a very, very interesting piece. The Cooper Gallery just opened last year, and it is a very small gallery that does poignant pieces right in Harvard Square. They opened around the same time as the Harvard Art Museums, but the Cooper Gallery's focus is on African and African-American art. And in Black Chronicles 2, they have this exhibition of photographs of Black men and women in Victorian London. And this is a time, obviously, of great contrast to what was happening here in the United States. But you see these people go into the studio, the London Holton Studios, and be photographed as they wanted to be photographed. A great boxer in great attire celebrating his tour of London. You have the African choir who's also making a tour of London. And to some degree, they are posed in certain costumes. But when they break out and you have their very natural photographs, you see Black men and women depicted as they wanted to be. And as I said, it's such a stark contrast to what we know is happening in this country at the time that it's very, very poignant. But I spoke with their gallery director, Vera Grant, about what this trove of portraits shows about the people in them.
I think this is part of the everyday experience of life in London. What we're looking at is a typical photographic studio. You're going to take your portrait. You know, we have wonderful instances of how going to the studio, taking your portrait, how you dress yourself, what accoutrements you bring with you. This is all about creating self-identity, and very often it's a moment of uplift.
All right, Black Chronicles 2 at Harvard's Cooper Gallery, and tomorrow night at 8:30, it's Open Studio.
Tomorrow night we will take a look at one of my all-time favorite musicals, A Little Night Music,
and the
major song from that show, Send in the Clowns, and how it came to be. And I'll have a great interview with Mary Louise Wilson, the Tony-winning actress, about her new book, My First 100 Years in Show Business. She's a great, fantastic old lady.
All right, tomorrow night, 8:30 at WGBH2, it's Jared Bowen with Open Studio. Thanks, Jared.
Thanks, Bob.